First of all, I'm going to start ladies first. It was 50 years ago that Tom and I were married, and at that period in time, he took me to Zurich. So it was my first introduction to Jung 50 years ago. It was a lot of fun. It's been a long time. I want to thank you for coming today, basically because of the bad weather. It's just enormously cold. I'm really surprised that, you know, you were able to even come out at this time. Tom and I took public transportation from Wilmette, and we were glad to have the comfort of that, but it was really cold getting off the train and walking over here. What we're supposed to do is we're supposed to sum up the first four talks, and we've had an inconvenience in our lives because Tom got very sick, so we couldn't make I think two or three of the talks. So I'm not so sure this is a summary, but it'll be interesting. We will talk about chaos, which, as we all know, we've all been touched by it in the last few years particularly. We will be giving out the slides, and I think the slides, this PowerPoint it's taken the world by storm. I think it's such a wonderful tool for doing lectures. Instead of just talking to people, you're able to engage them and they can imagine. So I turned down the lights. If you need the lights on, we can turn them up, but I thought it would be helpful because I put black as the background. Okay, as we all know, Jungian psychology depends heavily on imagery, dreams, active imagination, fairy tales, mythology, art, dance. Imagery is thought to be the window to the psyche. What I want to do here is to show some images of artists' rendering of their inner images of chaos and anxiety. We'll go through these quickly, and I'll sometimes interject with some thoughts or some things to interpret about the images, but I encourage you to do your own research if you find something that particularly grabs you. If you feel comfortable, please interject and add any information you may have about these images or anything that you may know about the artwork. We can all benefit from that interchange. One of my favorite poets is Matthew Arnold. He wrote a poem that particularly grabbed me years ago when I was writing a paper about liminal space. It's called Stanzas from the Grand Chartreuse. Wandering between two worlds, one dead, the other powerless to be born, with nowhere yet to rest my head, like these on earth I wait forlorn, their faith, my tears, the world deride, I come to shed them at their side. I think it grabs me because I feel strongly that we are in liminal space right now, at least in our time of history. Sometimes I muse and I think, I wish this would all go away. I wish the cold would go away. I wish Trump would go away. I wish the abuse of subordinates and immigrants would go away. I wish a lot of things would go away and we could live in paradise. I really know this will not happen, but what we're going through at this time in history is very disconcerting. Liminal space is no man's land. The old isn't dead yet, and the new isn't born yet. One cannot stay in liminal space or a threshold for long. One needs to courageously choose to go forward or to go back. Now, I would have gotten up and stood at that doorway over there to demonstrate to you what liminal space is. Liminal space is a threshold. Yeah, thanks. George is standing there. Yeah, it's a threshold. It comes from the days when people, farmers, would share their space with their animals. And the barn was at one end, and the family lived at the other end. And so when you would cross from the barn to the house, you could sometimes bring in hay or oats on your feet. And so therefore the word threshold. But the interesting thing about that is, if you stand at the threshold, you can't stand there long. You have to choose whether you're going to go back into the barn or you're going to move forward. It's a no man's land. And I think symbolically that's where we are today in religion, in culture. It's chaotic. And so what we're trying to figure out is, do I go forward or do I just wish it'll go away? Well,